This is a replay of the Tuesday night, February 3rd, WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings. And unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. 3 hours to spend together. If it is on your mind, I'll make sure that it is on mine. Interesting, got a lot of your requests to play, and none of them having to do with the day the music died. That's right. And you've heard about that ad nauseum, I'm sure, so we'll just skip it other than to say rest in peace. Yeah, the Winter Dance Party Tour, and that was the plane crash that took Buddy Holly and the Big Bopper and Richie Valens. And, you know, stories about that to this day. Someone's making a documentary on it, blaming Buddy, of all things. So I don't know. I haven't seen it. But, yeah, the story just keeps on growing. And I guess American Pie will keep on being played from now till the end of time. The other thing, yesterday, of course, we didn't talk much about it because we were doing Monday Night Trivia. But Punxsutawney Phil saw his shadow, so 6 more weeks of winter. This is the best PR scam ever. I don't know who it was who came up with this, and I probably should know because I've been to Punxsutawney, and I've gone and seen Phil, and Phyllis, by the way, and they're in glass enclosed cages by the police station there, and I'm sure they're not obviously the original rodents, God knows, well, that would be more of a story. But taking a town that has absolutely nothing going for it, and to this day, how many years later? Well, we'll talk about that maybe later. All right, so we got all your requests, we got all your calls, and we'll start it out with Marty. And Marty is in Indiana. So, Marty, welcome to WGN Radio.
Yeah, I haven't talked to you since last night.
Yes, and you're back.
Well, I had brought up Hayden Thompson.
And we're going to play.
You know, I had this darn article on my coffee table, but I had it upside down because the picture from the Chicago Tribune had a picture of the album, Here's Hayden Thompson.
Yeah, absolutely. On cap, you betcha, in stereo.
Mm-hmm. And here's the song that we used run out of time anyways last night.
Yeah.
He says here, he was only 16 when the band, Southern Melody Boys, I Feel the Blues Coming On. It was on the Vaughn record label, if you think you've got that in your archives.
I don't know. I'll look for it. I was going to play 1688, and maybe you don't have to be a baby. But and they're both on caps. That was easy for me. But I will look. Now, give me the title, and I'm going to look right now as we speak.
Okay. Came out in 54 when he was only 16, I Feel the Blues Coming On.
Yeah, I think I do have that.
And again,
that
from the Vaughn label.
Yeah, yeah.
No. God, he was only 16. Jeez.
Oh, yeah. That's actually not unusual, especially back then when, let's face it, it didn't cost nearly anything to record anything. So you heard that fairly often, you know, kids who were 14,
really?
15. Yeah, and even in the 60s, like I think Herman of Herman's Hermits, Peter Noon, he wasn't 16. He was probably 15 at the time he was doing that.
The only thing I can think of off the top of my head, somebody that young, was Stevie Winwood. I think he was like 16, and I forgot the song, Stevie Winwood, but he was a teenager when The band he was in cut that song.
Okay, what 60s. I've got, I've got it, and I've got it on shellac, so it's on a 78, but I can play that. And it's I Feel the Blues Coming On.
Okay.
Hayden Thompson on Vaughn.
Wow. Then I've got a quick question. That was a real good article. I'm glad I cut this out.
Yeah.
Now, you probably have, but I've never seen this film, Rock Around the Clock, because when he graduated high school, it says in 56, his group toured the South with a musical film, Rock Around the Clock. Have you ever seen that movie?
Yeah, and I've probably only seen five movies, but I have seen that. Interestingly, Rock Around the Clock was, I don't know what to tell you about it, and actually now that I say that, no, it was the Rock Around the Clock was the theme song for a movie I saw. Now, what the hell was the movie? Oh, God, this will drive me crazy. Because Bill Haley in the comments recorded it earlier, and it did not hit. And it came out in Blackboard Jungle. That was the name of the movie. Blackboard Jungle.
Okay.
And Blackboard Jungle, the theme song was Rock Around the Clock. So that's probably what you're thinking of.
Okay.
And like I say, it was a thing where it came out in 55. And it was all about some English teacher in a inner city school, and it was
Sidney Poitier.
Yeah, it was a book originally. Evan Hunter wrote the book, and so yeah, Sidney Poitier and the student Gregory. Let's see, who else was in that besides that? Well, Glenn Ford, Anne Francis, a lot of people were in that. But yes, I saw that. But as I say, it was a weird thing for Bill Haley in the comment. Originally, Bill Haley in the comments had been Bill Haley and the Saddlemen, and they were a country act out of Chester, Pennsylvania. But they had recorded Rock Around the Clock, and nobody ever noticed it, you know, a couple years earlier. And then it was basically the not only the theme song for the movie, which, of course, made it a hit, but from the standpoint of people who are into film and the history thereof, it's the first time a major Hollywood film featured a rock and roll song.
Wow.
So, you know, they say it introduced rock and roll to America. I would debate that heavily. But nonetheless, it certainly, as far as mainstream stuff, had quite the impact. So that was the movie Blackboard Jungle.
And it's probably 2 years ago, probably no more than 2 years ago, I watched that movie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm somewhat of a Sidney Poitier fan. And it's just kind of amazing because when I called you last time for being a first-time caller,
yeah,
you told me that you're not really much into movies.
No.
You said you've seen that.
Yeah, well, I've seen five, but yeah, that would be
five.
That would be one I've seen. Like I saw Jamboree. I always say the world's only payola movie that featured disc jockeys from all over the country, and that was a Dick Clark movie. But in any event, yeah, I've seen very few movies, but that's one you kind of have to see, and it's got some interesting people in it. It's like I say, Anne Francis, but it's also got Vic Morrow, and it has Jamie Farr, the guy who was on the TV.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right, Jamie. And then the one young guy, he was in one of the James Dean movies. I forgot which one. Rebel Without a Cause made, maybe that was the one I seen him in. But he played a student in Blackboard Jungle. Sal Mentor? Does that ring a bell?
No, I don't think that is it.
Okay, well, he was in one of James Dean movies.
Are you thinking of Sal Mineo?
Yeah, Sal Mineo.
Yeah,
yep, Sal
sure,
Mineo.
Of course.
That's right.
Of course. Sal Mineo, and he died in the mid-70s. He's been gone a really, really long time, and he was in Rebel Without a Cause. That's why, yeah, Sal Mineo. Did not see that movie, but clearly am aware of it. He was in a lot of movies, Sal Mineo, and got certainly Academy Award nominations, but I think he also won a Golden Globe for something or other. But, yeah, he was he was huge for a moment there. He was... you know, he had a stage mother, and so she enrolled him like in tap school and dancing and acting school from, you know, by the time he was going into grade school, and it it paid off. He, I think the first thing he ever did was a Tennessee Williams play. So, but the interesting thing about that is he played opposite Yul Brynner in The King and I also. So I think it was Brynner who helped Mineo kind of better himself as an actor.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to let you go. I know
right.
You've got a ton of callers, so I appreciate you taking a call.
Well, you will
and,
hear.
Yeah.
You will hear I Feel the Blues Coming On right after this next commercial break.
Thank you very much,
all
Wally.
Right. Thanks for calling. All right. So, yeah, I was going to play 1688, but happy to play I Feel the Blues Coming On, and we will next right here on WGN Radio. ¶¶
I feel the blues coming on. Now that you've gone, I've done nothing but cry since you told me goodbye. I know that I love you, and I want you to know it too. On, 'cause I'm so all alone, I'm gonna turn off the tears and remember the years you told me you loved me, and I believed it was true. Falling down, and my baby's left this town, and I don't think she loves me anymore. She's made me sad and blue, and I don't know what to do, but I feel those blues coming on.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, there it is. Hayden Thompson, it says it right on the label, the South's most versatile singer, and his Southern Melody Boys. And that was on Vaughn. Vaughn was a little label in Boonville, Mississippi. And the interesting thing about Vaughn, it was in the Vaughn Theater, the recording studio. And so since it was there, they just named the label Vaughn. And that may be the only thing you can find on it. But indeed, I got it on shellac, but it also came out on 45. And I thought, and Hayden, by the way, co-wrote that. I thought it was a great start. Yeah. All right, so happy to play that for Marty. I had some other Hayden Thompson lined up, and maybe we'll play them later, but I've got a ton of your requests, Jimmy P's six-pack among them, so we'll get there as well, but we're going to add to the stack right now. Cindy in Chicago. Hello, Cindy.
Well, first of all, before I forget, has James from the South Side been calling yet?
Yes, and he's been writing, too. Yes.
Okay, I've been falling asleep. I'm sorry. But then, anyhow,
I don't blame you. Sleep is sacred. That's fine.
Seasonal depression is going to be ending soon. It's going to be in the 50s, and I've been having a little mania again. But then, anyhow, I have some songs. I don't know what the title is. Does she love me positively? Is she nifty under 50? Was she easy to get?
I don't know.
Roaring 20s.
Oh, maybe why I don't know. I was going to say, I don't know. Does she love me positively? Let's see. The internet's funny. It may come up with something. Does she love me positively? Okay. And you think it's the 20s?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see what it says.
Is she nifty under and under 50?
Okay, it says that it was a popular jazz tune in the 20s. And Does She Love Me is the title. And Aileen Stanley and Bill Murray did it.
Okay, and then the other one is, it's a woman singing. I want to be loved by you and only you.
Are we still talking the 20s? Because that everybody's kind of done that.
Okay. Well, this is the original one from the 20s.
All right. Well, let me go to secondhand songs and see who did that originally. All right. Why not? Where do you hear this stuff?
I have the CD. Called Vintage.
Wait. If you have the CDs, why are you requesting hearing it on the radio? You can play it anytime you want.
I don't know. For something to do.
I like to play things that you otherwise can't find, you know, the things that bring back memories, you know, that otherwise are not available to you, not memories of what you ate for lunch last Thursday.
Oh, well then, anyhow, what was the other one? It's a beautiful, Beautiful Sunday?
Okay, yeah, all right. And now that's not the 20s.
No, that's the 70s.
Yeah, yeah, I've got that here. I'm sure I do. Let's see. Beautiful Sunday.
I really had a question for you. I guess I brought cat litter. It's supposed to be lightweight cat litter. I don't know. I Googled it if that's BS. Yeah. But then it's not a scale. I guess it seems, you know, it looks pretty heavy. I brought it up to the third floor because Mike's leg was bothering him, and I didn't. Something told me to ask him to bring it up, but I brought it up. And my right side, and then I thought, well, it's my kidneys, maybe. And then I thought, then I Googled it, and it said if it was your kidneys, then it would be constantly.
And right. If it's your kidneys, you'll feel the pain all the time. You will not have relief because you move in a different position. Like usually with lower back pain, you know, if you're in a different position, you can kind of ease it and all that. Kidney pain, it won't do that. Kidney pain is a little higher than what we think of as low back pain for most people. It's kind of under the rib cage at the waist area in the back, but it can radiate to the front. But yes, the big indicator is you don't get relief from changing position.
Yeah, I went on ice a couple times and it went away. Now it's gone. It's still a little like an aura. And I made a chiropractic appointment, but
good.
It's all gone.
Oh, well, then if it's gone, let's not question the good things. Glad to hear it's gone, and I will play your request. I know you want Daniel Boone, Beautiful Sunday.
One more thing.
All right, hang on a minute. Don't go away. If we want one more thing, we have to wait till after the news, and we'll get it coming up on WGN Radio.
Don't worry about me. I'll get along. Forget about me. Be happy, my love. Let's say that our little show is over, and so the story ends. Why not call it a day? Sensible way and still be friends. Look out for yourself, should always be the rule. Give your heart and your love to whomever you love, don't you be a fool. Darling, why stop to cling to some fading thing that used to be? If you can forget, don't you worry about me.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Of course, that's Frank Sinatra. Don't worry about me. And last night, poor Mike held on the phone for, I'd say, 90 minutes. Yeah, right. It was only a two-hour show because of the Blackhawks pre-game, and so we were on right after that. But interestingly, he was still hanging in there, and so he said, I got a couple requests. I said, I guarantee I'll play them. Anybody willing to wait 90 minutes? And that was one of them. And he had another one, too. Iron Neville, tell like it is. But as far as this, a fine song it was, 1954 on Capitol. All right, so 888-876-5593. Now, Cindy had something else to say, so what was it?
Yeah, you know, everything is so sick. But then you have the founder of Three Dog Night Cast. I don't know which one.
Yeah.
Was that the one that was married to Cher? I saw him on an interview with someone.
No. Absolutely not.
I really, you know, they're, you know,
I shouldn't say that. I mean, knowing Cher being Cher, she could have been married to Chuck Negron, but I don't think so. But that's who died.
Their music was too adult, not adult, like it was dirty or anything, but just too adult and serious when I was a child in the 70s, you know. One is the loneliest. No, it was just, I didn't, you know, it was all right.
I'm sure Chuck would be pleased to know you found it all right. So, yes, and sadly, he's no longer with us.
Joy to the World.
He's on lead on that. He's also on lead on One. But he had heart failure. But the other thing is, he'd been suffering for a while of COVID. It was a blessing in many ways. So 83 years old and clearly a life well lived.
Yeah. Okay. Well, have a good evening, and I hope to hear James call.
All right. Well, maybe so. Thanks for calling. All right. So put that out there for James. If he's hanging around and wants to call, that'd be great. 888-876-5593. Chuck Negron actually in the 50s sung with some doo-wop groups. Nobody that, you know, I think we would necessarily know, but their first hit was when it was with Three Dog Night, of course. One wound up being, I think, number one, and that was a Harry Nilsson song, of course. Or certainly a top five song nationally and all that. And wound up with 21 consecutive top 40 hits in a six-year period. So that was the... And I don't know that they wrote any of it, because as I think of a Joy to the World, that was Hoyt Axton. And, of course, Eli's Come and Laura Nyro. Mama Told Me Not to Come, Randy Newman. Old-fashioned love song, that'd be Paul Williams. So, yeah, I guess I don't know that they ever wrote any of their stuff, but there you have it. And rest in peace, Chuck Negron. So now I got to look up who was Cher married to. But I'm pretty sure, of course, one of the Allman Brothers. But who else? I don't know. Maybe Cindy's confusing. Can't imagine that confusion, but you never know. So let me see what else. I don't think so. I think it was just the Allman guy and, of course, Sonny. I think those were the only two marriages. Greg Allman, and that was like 4 years in the latter 70s, and of course Sonny Bono, who was really in so many ways responsible for pretty much everything that she became. All right, so 888-876-5593, and if you say to yourself, well, Sonny couldn't sing. No, Sonny couldn't sing, and he didn't want to sing, but initially Cher was too afraid to go on stage without him, so it was Sonny and Cher in the beginning, but he had kind of been a song plugger, worked for Phil Spector and a number of other people, and of course, wrote some stuff too. So anyway, yes, Cher was not married to Chuck Negron. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. And Ken is in Chicago, so all right, Ken, it's been a while. What's on your mind?
Oh, hi. You didn't announce the answer yesterday to the trivia question.
Oh, that's so funny, because I think Sharon in Little Rock is calling on that too. So let me have Sharon join us, and I'll tell you
both. You're really close to 1 o'clock.
Well, yes, and you know, I thought about that afterwards, and so on my website, I
figured the next day.
Yeah, I put on the website that I would open the show with it, and so let's get Sharon.
Can I take a guess quick?
Both of you can, but so Sharon, firstly, let's see, so she'll join us on this call, assuming I did this right, which is always iffy in my life. All right, so Sharon, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay,
sorry
good.
About that.
Oh, no problem. So, all right, so Chuck's going to take a guess. What do you think, Chuck?
Ken, you mean?
I'm waiting.
You mean Ken?
No, I'm sorry, Ken. I'm sorry. Yes, I mean Ken. Yes, I've changed your name. God, next thing you know, I'll move you. All right. So, yes, Kennedy is in Chicago.
Smoking in public.
Not smoking in public. Do you have any other guesses?
No, just that.
All right. Sharon, you got any guesses?
No, that one kind of stumped me there. I mean, I kept thinking and thinking, and I go, what in the world?
Well, it is.
Is maybe getting married or something. I don't know.
Oh, no, you won't believe this. And so, yes, in India, student protests have a long history, but one of the demands raises eyebrows. Students lobbying for the right to cheat on exams. And it's not an isolated incident. Now, here's the really scary part. Just this year, students at Burdwan Medical College in West Bengal fought for the right to cheat on finals. Oh, that's a doctor I want. Now, what they're saying is that it's not as outlandish as it sounds. Oh, yes, it is. But they're saying it's inequality and unfairness that that cause some people not to do well, not a case of what they know or don't know. But I still say this is pretty damn unsettling if they ever win it.
Gee whiz. I mean, okay. See, that blows my mind.
Yep, yeah.
I kept thinking, what in the world? You know, you said it last week, and I go, okay, what in the world? And I kept thinking and thinking, and I was going to call you a couple times. I go, no, it's stupid. And so now I'm glad I didn't.
No, I don't know. I think the right to cheat on exams is so out there. So did that cross your mind, Ken?
No. I want to respond to the guy who was talking about rock around the clock.
Okay.
Yeah, he's not talking about that. He's talking about rock with Alan Freed. Tuesday Weld was the lead. Connie Francis was double.
Yeah, actually, I'm aware of Rock, but he was talking about Blackboard Jungle, which was...
Oh, he was talking
about... Yes, because he mentioned Sidney Poitier and all that. He was talking about Blackboard Jungle. But yeah, Rock, and many other fine Alan Freed movies also up for grabs. Thanks for calling, Ken. I appreciate it.
Okay, take care.
All right, you too. And Sharon, anything else on your mind?
Yeah, one thing. Can you play a request for me?
Sure, what you want to hear?
Okay. God Didn't Make Little Green Apples.
Okay.
And it didn't
little, yeah, Little Green Apples, O.C. Smith.
Okay.
Yeah, that was the hit anyway. But a lot of people recorded that. It's a wonderful song.
Okay, well, I didn't know if you played it or not, because I know...
Yeah, well, I don't play what I don't like, but I do like that. So no problem playing that at all. Bobby Russell wrote that, and he also wrote things like Honey. Don't hold it against him. And actually, three different artists had somewhat of hits for it. Roger Miller and Patti Page, and of course, O.C. Smith. And O.C. Smith was the big one. It was number two nationally. So that's the one I'll play.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Well, cheer me up a little bit. We've had snow here for just now getting to where, you know, you can actually not see snow. We had like almost 6 inches of snow in 3 years. So, you know,
wow,
it's been depressing.
Well, at least it didn't start off at ice. And as you know, being in Little Rock, that's one of the problems is, you know, it may or may not snow, but it's definitely going to give you some ice.
Well, it started out sleet.
Oh, yeah. No, see, this is just not good. But that's typical for, you know, Little Rock or Memphis. When it's going to happen, that's exactly what happens.
And they were predicting that first snow. We thought, oh, right, 10 inches of snow. Yay! You know, we were all excited.
Yeah.
And then kept saying sleet. We go, oh, no. Oh, hey, you should have seen it. I mean, our streets were just covered.
Oh, yeah.
Ice, and people do not know how to drive.
Well, you can't. You know? When there's ice on the ground, you no longer drive, you just aim. There is no way to drive. Yeah. So. All right. Well, it will probably be tomorrow night. It'll be probably tomorrow night, but you will hear it.
Okay. Hey, thank you very much, and thank you for entering that trivia. I listened to it last night.
I know. I realized when I was writing down what I played for bumper numbers, I'm like, oh God, I forgot to do this. So yes, now we know. All right, thanks.
Yeah, now we know. Okay, thank you.
All right, good deal.
You have a good day.
You too. Good night. Yeah, I figured, you know, the right to cheat on exams, and at first I was going to bypass that, but when I found out it was students at a medical college, I thought, oh no, we must discuss. Yeah, absolutely. And so we did. So there'll be a new trivia question for next Monday night. It's a full show, too. All right, so I got an email from Florence. Hi, Florence. And she said, want to send a huge thank you for recommending the Sea Crane Radio. I was having so much interference, it was getting so annoying, so I took your recommendation, ordered the CC Radio 2E. All I can say is, wow. Yes, so good deal. And she liked customer service there, too. So my pleasure, Florence. Yeah, the 2E is my bedside companion. I love it. John, however, has a CC Radio 3. And really, they're darn near identical only, except the CC Radio 3 has the addition of Bluetooth. So it's got such a lovely speaker and all that. You can use it for all the things you don't want to listen to on a phone and all that kind of stuff. The audio is just better than any smartphone in the world, obviously, and much else as well. Now, that's great, except I'm just looking at this and I'm realizing it's not the CC Radio 3 I'm supposed to be talking about. It's the CC Wi-Fi 3. But so firstly, if you're looking for a radio, go with the 2E or the 3, either way. Now, let's talk Wi-Fi. What's interesting is I'm always saying that every radio that Bob Crane develops has the best reception. And then we talk about Wi-Fi and I say, it's got the best reception. And you're going, huh? Well, here is the deal. If you have a wireless access point or a Wi-Fi router, you know that sometimes it's hard to pick up things, it's hard to connect and all that kind of stuff. Well, I'll tell you what, the CC Wi-Fi 3 will connect to virtually anything. All right, that is just beautiful that way, and it'll stay connected. So that's a pleasure. But more than that, you know, Wi-Fi radios are great, but sometimes there's a learning curve that would choke a pony. Not with the CC Wi-Fi 3. It's intuitive. In fact, John set it up without any help and didn't even need to say, where's the manual? And so that pretty much speaks for itself. It's just great. And of course, why Wi-Fi radio? Thank God they didn't have this in the 50s. I never would have left my room. That's right. They would have just slid a piece of meat every now and then under the door, because you can listen to tens of thousands of radio stations from all over the world, just like you were picking them up on your radio. In addition to that, all the podcasts and all the things that's internet only, you'll never run out of things to hear. This will never be a deal where you're saying, I don't have anything to listen to. Oh, yes, you do. And the beauty of the CC Wi-Fi 3, in addition to the fact that it's going to hook up to any wireless access point and it's going to be really easy to use, is no ads on the screen, no monthly fee, full-size remote control, yeah, and no microphone listening in on you, no app. All right, all the things that I love. Yeah, absolutely. I'm always looking for things that don't require any of that. So if you're looking for superior reception for a much greater distance from your Wi-Fi router or wireless access point, this will do it. If you're looking for just an easy way to listen to Wi-Fi radio, to all the things online and more, this will do it. And of course, if you're just looking for something that really, well, I will say this, be prepared. You'll have so much to listen to, it's going to cause the hours in your day to evaporate. Yeah, you'll be just listening to everything, but it's just terrific. You can go online anytime, ccradio.com, ccradio.com. You look at the CC Wi-Fi 3, CC Wi-Fi 3. Now, if you can't go online, you probably don't want a Wi-Fi radio. However, you might be buying one for a family member or a friend. And if you're going to be gifting a Wi-Fi radio, this is a great gift, because whoever gets it will not be frustrated. They'll find it easy to use, and it's just a delight. And you can call them 800-522-8863, 800-522-TUNE. You can also call, even if you can go online, because they'll answer all your questions. And that's a godsend, too. Everything in the United States of America, and just terrific customer service. But if you can go online, CC Wi-Fi 3 at ccradio.com. You tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio.
Been uptown, but I've been around.
You mean to say you ain't been uptown?
No, I ain't been uptown. What's uptown?
If it's pleasure you're about and you feel like stepping out, all you've got to shout is, let me off uptown. If it's rhythm that you feel, then it's not nothing to conceal. Oh, you've got to spill it, let me off of town. Rejoice, Duke joins, Hep joins. Where could a fella go to top it? If you want to pitch a ball and you can't afford a hall, all you've got to call is let me off uptown.
Anita, oh Anita, say, I feel something.
What you feel, Roy? The heat?
No, it must be that uptown rhythm. I feel like blowing.
Well, blow, Roy, blow.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. And yes, that was David on the North Side for Betty. And OK Records, 1941, Let Me Off Uptown, which he said Anita O'Day, which is true. She's the vocalist. So is Roy Eldridge. They're doing the back and forth. And it is Gene Krupa. And actually, Gene Krupa, probably more than anybody else, was responsible for us hearing Anita O'Day, because she started performing in Chicago in jazz clubs. And Gene Krupa heard her and hired her immediately as a lead vocalist, and Let Me Off Uptown, 1941. So that's the deal. On OK. So yeah, she, Roy, who was a trumpeter, actually, and you heard some of his trumpeting right there, was more than anything else known as a jazz trumpeter, but some stuff, vocals, like on that as well. But OK, normally all the acts were African-American, and Roy was. However, Anita O'Day was not a white girl from Kansas City. All right, so 888-876-5593. We will get to Eduardo right after the news right here on WGN Radio.
Beyond the busy highway, beyond the city strife, we highly treasure and take great pleasure in our plain way of life. Feel the fussing and the fighting. Sometimes it gets to be exciting. Don't like them ornery neighbors down by the creek. We'll be plumb out of neighbors next week. Grandma, poor old grandma, why'd they have to shoot poor grandma? She lies neath the clover. Someone caught her bending over, picking up a daisy few, a fussin' and a fightin'. This is a wrong that needs a righting. Let's get that funeral service over, so then we'll go few and fightin' again. Fightin', a feudin' and a fussin', that's all that's going on with us. And we are such neighborly people, peaceful and sweet, all except when we happen to meet. Daughter, baby daughter.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Gotta love a song that includes shooting grandma. All right, Dorothy Shea, and that's from an album, The Park Avenue Hillbilly Sings, 1946, on Columbia. And actually, it was Gene who wanted to hear some Dorothy Shea, and now she has. I hope she's listening. All right, so Eduardo had his interview, I do believe, and also did another one of those conferences. So, all right, Eduardo, what's up?
Any update on it? There hasn't been any email notifications so far, so maybe we're still in the hunt, but maybe by the end of the week we'll hear something.
Okay, I hope so.
Yeah. Yeah, even though that'll be quite a trip, but, you know, it's not going to be every day. It's going to be 3 days, 12-hour days, so it won't be every day, so.
And it's not like you'll be fighting snow.
There you go. Yeah.
You'll get
I did have to fight Dakota on Sunday when I was at that outdoor hockey game at the football stadium.
Oh, yeah, it can be cold. And you'll get some really bad rain, but that's about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I really feel sorry for the people, especially not just up north, but in Carolinas and all
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
That's something, seeing that. But, yeah, hopefully as we get into the end of February, everybody will start warming up, so all that snow will start to melt.
Well, I don't know. I don't think Charlotte's going to be under a blanket of snow between now and next month. Hopefully it'll, maybe next week, but I don't think next month.
Yeah. So this, yesterday I started at JW again, another conference.
Yeah.
This is the Cosmetic Surgery Foundation.
Oh, they probably had some nice hospitality suites.
Well, we're building like these informational kits the last couple of days, and then tomorrow... We have to be all dressed up because I gotta be in. I gotta have a white shirt and black dress pants. So I'm gonna be dressed up tomorrow to the Friday because the attendees will be coming in, and so they'll be attending meetings and all that. So
usually those conferences come with pharmaceutical companies that are wonderful in terms of the hospitality suites and what they put out there. So the eating should be pretty good.
Yeah, and they're going to be here. They're coming in from all over. So,
well, of course.
I mean, and I see that these people get credit too.
Right? No, absolutely. It's for they have to do a certain amount of educational credit each year for that kind of stuff. So yeah, they come to the conference. They get to spend time in Tampa in the winter, and they put on a real good show. And like I say, usually some good hospitality suites. So why not? Yeah, the continuing education credits. That's what it is.
Yeah, I'm looking at one of the pamphlets here. Founded in 2000, 501, $1 million award in research and educational grants. So this is their annual scientific meeting. You know, this get educational resources, research grants.
Okay.
Yeah, it looks pretty interesting.
Good.
Yeah. So I'll be there till the end of the week. So I'll be helping out. So.
Okay.
I'm glad to be doing something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's different, that's for sure. Yeah. Hopefully they'll have some before and after pictures.
Yeah, I'm going to take some photos. I'll send them your way.
All right.
See what you think.
All right.
All right.
Good deal. Well, good to talk to you.
Tomorrow, Thursday.
Okay, thanks. Okay. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much,
right.
Molly.
So Eduardo's staying relatively warm and keeping busy, which is always good news. So, Eduardo has sent me a bunch of pictures, too, and... There's a flat out, by the way, nothing wrong with him. I don't know why. I thought when he went to Florida, especially being totally bilingual and all that, and having a history working in hospitals and medical establishments, that he would have a job in a picosecond. And it has not happened to date, which is surprising me. All right, Robert in LaGrange, welcome to WGN Radio.
Raleigh. I wanted to... ask you in regards to OK Records, since the vast majority of artists were black, I was just wondering how Johnny Ray wound up on.
Oh, a lot OK. of other people. Do you know the history of OK?
No, I really don't. No.
Okay.
No.
So you don't know what it stands for. You do understand it's an abbreviation. It's not OK like we would say OK. It's actually Otto Heinemann. His name was Otto K E Heinemann. So O K E H.
Right.
Yeah, that's what it came from, and those are his initials, and that was the deal. And his goal initially was to serve the unserved. He wasn't going particularly after race records. A lot of people said that was their original focus, and no, it was anything that was unserved. And one of the first things that OK released, and man, I don't know if you ever heard it, but the Laughing record. This is
This
is 1922, all right? And this originally had been recorded in Germany in 1920. And Otto got the master, and he released the Laughing record. Let you hear a little of this.
Okay.
on for 3 minutes. It's just Lucy and Otto laughing. And that was their first hit, believe it or not. But quickly, Otto discovered that, yes, rich rewards in serving the African-American community. And so it was that they started putting out race records, as it were. And so that was the deal with that. But Columbia bought it. They bought the label. And they bought it in like 1926 or so. I'm doing this from memory, so the years could be off. But they didn't have it all that long. And it was Columbia at that point. So they wound up selling it to a company that they then wound up buying the company. So they actually wound up in the early 30s getting it back because they bought this company that they had already bought. And so, yeah, I think it was ARC, the American Record Corporation, is what they bought. But when CBS got it back, it was like 1938. And they didn't do much. But, yeah, the big but, by the 40s, they started to record a bunch of stuff. And in terms of what happened and why they were in the 40s willing to really promote OK was that they had lost the rights to Vocalion. And originally, they were in a deal with Brunswick. And that when that deal was over, they lost Vocalion. And so they thought, well, we'll just have OK replace it. And that's how it started to be R&B, except by 1946, they just folded it. And so this is Columbia, and so typical, right? 51, they restarted it again. And 53, they decided this is going to be exclusively R&B. So, quote unquote, exclusively. And what they did, they had formed Epic in the early 50s, and they transferred it to Epic, where it remained, actually. And they hired Carl Davis in 63. That was later, of course. And Epic was originally just kind of distributing it, not involved with it. But in 65, that wonderful convention that I'll never get, that's when they really took over the management of OK, trying to do something with it. So, you know, they in the 60s with Carl Davis, they signed Major Lance, and Larry Williams was there for a while. But it wasn't only Johnny Ray. Absolutely, like you mentioned. But Johnny Ray had a real R&B history. He used to sing at the Flame Bar in Detroit. In fact, somebody who absolutely mentored him big time was Laverne Baker. So it's not such a far-flung thing that they would sign Johnny Ray. Of course, Little Joe and the Thrillers, which, you know, Peanuts and all that, but that was a Philadelphia group and all that kind of stuff. But when we really look at OK's wonderful period in the 60s, the two to look at are Carl Davis and Curtis Mayfield. That's what made it. And what happened was, at the time, Len Levy, who actually used to be a friend of mine, but Len Levy was running Epic. And whatever it was, Carl and Curtis and Len, it was just not a good combination. It was oil and water, if there ever was. And so Mayfield and Carl Davis wound up leaving. And ultimately, in 1970, they retired the label entirely. And then it came back again. It was in the 90s, but under OK. But that's completely outside of my knowledge. But so that's the deal.
Folks had Cry and Little White Cloud on OK. And I remember the OKEH.
Right.
You know, on top of it, gold letters, like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that was for that was for good old Otto. Yeah, and so
That was really a long history, a lot of buyouts and
Well, you know, it was sort of second fiddle at best. But I mentioned that that Columbia convention in 65. I remember 2 days before the Columbia convention, and those conventions, they had them annually. They were great conventions for years, but they were more than anything else. They were sales conventions. And so in 65, this was like a record year for Columbia because they ousted Mitch Miller. And finally, after all this time, they were going to be able to release a rock and roll album on Columbia because Mitch Miller forbid it. Well, before convention started, 2 days before it, they had the OK meetings there. And basically, if you look at some of what went on, and I remember this like it was yesterday, they were basically teaching the people at OK the business, how to sell records. You know, it's like, oh my God, you know, it was unbelievably remedial. But nonetheless, it was a big shebang. But yeah, it was always under the in our lifetime, under the auspices of Epic.
Yeah. Wow. That's really something to, you know. Wow.
But yeah, they had some great stuff. I mean, that period with Curtis Mayfield and Carl Davis. Oh man, some of those records were just wonderful.
Oh, now is that the same Curtis Mayfield that was the singer of the Impressions?
Yeah, of course. And Carl Davis, huge Chicago producer. A lot of the Chess stuff and a lot more. I mean, yeah, this is Chicago all the way. And they just made deals with them originally, and that's when they put Major Lance on the label and other stuff as well. That was absolutely the deal. And but Carl Davis, probably one of the most, as far as the general public, like people know Curtis Mayfield because he used to be in the Impressions and all that kind of stuff. Less people in the general public probably know Carl Davis. He died over a decade ago now. But if you had to pick anyone who really defined what became the Chicago sound, whether it was OK or VJ or Brunswick, you know, the stuff in the 60s, like Major Lance, Gene Chandler, the Shy Lights and all that. The guy responsible for all that was Carl Davis. And, you know, he produced a lot of stuff too. He produced Duke of Earl, which, as you know, originally was not Gene Chandler. Gene was the lead singer, but it was the Duques. But when the record came out, it was suddenly Gene Chandler. The Duques weren't pleased. Monkey Time by Major Lance, obviously. Higher and Higher, Jackie Wilson. And, you know, he's the one who hired Curtis Mayfield at OK as their primary songwriter. And then he found Shy Sound in 76. So there's an autobiography, The Man Behind the Music, The Legend of Carl Davis, which you could pick up if you're ever interested in him. But absolutely the architect, more than any other unknown person, of the Chicago sound.
Yeah, I remember the original Night Owl by the Duques.
Oh, yeah, I loved that song. There were a lot of Duques. Yeah. I thought the Duques were just swell. I really did. And, that was VJ, and they had a habit of doing that. Remember, just like they took Jerry Butler out of the Impressions. Well, they took Gene Chandler out of the Duques. But I don't think the rest of the Duques had any idea, and not only Night Owl, but The Girl's a Devil, if you remember that one.
Yeah, no, that one I don't recall.
Oh, you got to hear some of that. That's actually my favorite Duques record.
Yeah. I said my baby had to put your show. Oh, she was someone in the very front row. I said, oh, baby, ain't I how you met? She said, come and sit beside me. You can hold my hand. A girl's a devil, a cute.
Yeah, it's a great little record.
Oh, yeah. I hear that Chicago sound in there, too.
Absolutely. You know, that's Carl Davis all the way. And certainly within the industry, everybody knew who he was. But he should have been, whether it's Barbara Acklin or Tyrone Davis. I mean, we can go on and on and on. And, should have been more of a household word. But he's always in my heart.
Wow, gee, thanks, Rolly, for all that info.
And if you're wondering how he started, because he was a Chicago boy, he wound up, remember when Al Benson, of course, you had to change the name to Al Benson to do that. It was Carl Davis who used to type up his playlists as a kid.
On
WGES in 1955.
GES.
Yep. So Carl was kind of the gopher and, you know, typed up the little playlists, and next thing you know, he's producing the records.
Yeah, what I used to like about Al Benson was he would say, the next portion of her show is brought to you by Coca-Cola, and I was right back to music, you know.
Right.
He didn't even get too much into the commercial yet.
Exactly.
Until he played a couple more tunes. he played more tunes in those days, you know.
Well,
than most
DJs. You know, when he was on GES, I'm sure he bought the time. It was his. So,
I see.
You know, he could handle it any way he wanted. And originally, he was Al Leaner, of course, but he had been doing things that were, you know, preaching and stuff. And they basically said at the station, you know, if you want to, it wasn't GES, it was before GES, but anyway, they said, you know, if you want to sell time, you can't be preaching. And so he became Al Benson. So that's how Al Leaner became Al Benson, and he sold the time. So that was it.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that part. No, yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Thanks a lot, Molly.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Okay. Yeah. Bye-bye now.
Yeah. So, Carl Davis. And Night Owl was kind of a minor hit as far as that. But like I say, then when he did that deal with OK, man, best thing that ever happened to OK as far as that goes and all that. So... 888-876-5593, but I digress, and I don't know, I digress so much, I don't know if I did this, so I will right now on WGN Radio.
Country time, it rains, pennies from heaven, don't you know each cloud contains, pennies from heaven, find your fortunes falling all over town. Make sure your umbrella is upside down.
Baby, don't you know?
Trade them for a package of sunshine and flowers. If you want the things you love, you must have showers. So when you hear it thunder, don't run under a tree. There'll be pennies from heaven for you and me.
Every time it rains,
pennies from heaven.
Don't you know each cloud can say,
pennies from heaven.
You'll find your fortunes falling all over town. Make sure that you're
umbrellas upside.
Baby, don't you know?
Trade them for a package of sunshine and flowers. If you want the things you love, you must have showers.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and I do not remember who requested Pennies from Heaven last night, but I figured I'd play my favorite version of that, which is the Skyliners from 1960 on Calico. But I'm trying to think. I write these things down, then I forget to write the names. I don't think it was Rick. Rick wanted Nobody But Me. But I don't know. Maybe the same person who wanted Lover's Question. That's coming up, too. But every time I think of Pennies from Heaven, I love what Eddie Jefferson did with that in 1977 when he came up with Pennies from Heaven.
A long time ago, a second lieutenant named Spears returned to the States after staying overseas 3 years. His wife said, "Welcome home, dear. But since you've been gone, you see, we've been blessed with a darling baby, and a cute little one is he." She took the baby in her arms and said, "Benny is his name." He says, "I've been gone away 3 years. Darling, can't you please explain? So I won't be so dumb. Tell me, where did little Benny come from?" And every time he'd ask, she'd say, "Benny's from heaven." His face got red, but still she repeatedly said, "Benny's from heaven." He says, "I've asked the neighbors that come around, but no one can seem to remember Benny coming down." Now about, he said, about a little thing like this, I ordinarily shouldn't bother. He said, "But mama, what little I know about children, I'm sure they gotta have fathers." And as
WGN Radio. So there you have it. Yes. Eddie Jefferson, the late Eddie Jefferson. It was an album called The Main Man. It was on Inner City. Came out in 1977. I just loved it. All right. Victor is in Silver Spring. So, Victor, welcome to WGN Radio. Victor was in Silver Spring, but he fell asleep or something. I don't know. I don't know what happened to Victor, but maybe he'll call back or not. He was going to tell me about his Sea Crane radios, and I believe he has three. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888-RALEIGH. If it's on your mind, I'll make sure it's on mine. And I was talking earlier, of course, yesterday being Groundhog Day, and still saying the absolute best. And I'm sure there's a history somewhere as far as that goes. But it was Bob, Engineer Bob, who sends me just great links, who gave me six facts about Groundhog Day, and that may be bear sharing or not. Punxsutawney Phil holds several official titles and royal namesake as far as that goes. So, yeah, I'm telling you, it was 1887 when the first official Groundhog Day festivities took place. All right, this is just a brilliant idea. And it's still, you know, here we are, 2026, and people are showing up in Punxsutawney. And, his official name is Punxsutawney Phil, Seer of Seers, Sage of Sages, Prognosticator of Prognosticators, and Weather Prophet Extraordinary. And according to the Punxsutawney Groundhog Club, yep, there is one, the name has a regal connotation. Phil was named after a King Philip, although it's not clear which King Philip, since there were several to go around. It's entirely possible that Phil was named after Queen Elizabeth II's husband, Prince Philip, in 1953, except the problem with that, of course, is Groundhog Day goes back to 1887. So maybe, I will say, in 1953, Punxsutawney buried a pair of groundhogs, Elizabeth and Philip, after the royal couple. 8 years later, Punxsutawney Phil first appeared in the local record. So the real question is, what were they calling this rodent from 1887 to 1952, since it seems like Phil came about around 1953? And, you know, you normally would say, well, obviously there have been many groundhogs taking the role of Punxsutawney Phil. But apparently, tradition has that each summer at the town's groundhog picnic, Phil is fed a magical elixir known as the groundhog punch that extends his life for another 7 years. And when he's not making weather forecasts, he relaxes at home, right in the town library. I guess it is library. I thought it was the police station, but maybe it's near the library. In any way, Phil and Phyllis. So Groundhog Day actually stems from a holiday, as far as that goes, an ancient Christian tradition, Candlemas, which was brought to Pennsylvania by German settlers. Like Groundhog Day, Candlemas is annually celebrated on February 2nd. And it commemorates, there's no rodent involved, the day that the Virgin Mary went to Jerusalem's Holy Temple to be purified 40 days after the birth of Jesus and to present Jesus to God as her firstborn. Candlemas is also featuring the blessing and the distribution of candles, which burn to represent the length of winter each year. So that's where we got February 2nd and the length of winter. Right. And apparently Candlemas is also associated with the prognostication of spring's arrival in old English rhymes. Yes, Candlemas be fair and bright, come winter, have another flight. All right. Candlemas brings cloud and rain, go winter and come not again. Well, one major difference between Candlemas and Groundhog Day, of course, is a rodent. But other than that, is that the former, actually, Candlemas did have an animal, not a rodent. It had the Candlemas bear, whose emergence from hibernation meant that the coming of spring was not too far off. Germans also originally used hedgehogs. Well, not too far from Phil. And the bears and the hedgehogs were later changed to a groundhog in America. And the Groundhog Day celebration has been going on for a long time, and originally it involved eating the groundhog. Yes, I kid you not. Well, I don't care what elixirs they're feeding the groundhog. If you eat them, you need another groundhog. But the first one, at Gobbler's Knob in Pennsylvania, the groundhogs were celebrated not only for their predictive abilities, but for their delicious flavor. In the 1800s, 1880s, anyway, groundhog meat was the preferred cuisine at the Punxsutawney Elks Lodge, the same one for responsible for conceiving the original Groundhog Day ceremony and summer hunt. So locals loved the taste of the rodent, saying it was like a cross between pork and chicken. Everything always tastes like chicken, no matter what it is. Tastes like chicken. They also would indulge in celebratory potables like groundhog punch, which had vodka in it, along with milk and eggs and orange juice. Oh, yum. And apparently, groundhog meat was served as the regional delicacy well into the 20th century. But, you know, you really can't have a holiday surrounding a groundhog if you're going to eat it. But they did have a recipe for groundhog Punxsutawney style in 1958 in a cookbook. All right, they were trying to raise money for a local hospital. And that's what they chose? Well, why not? The hunting portion of the holiday ultimately faded in popularity as locals started to enjoy the animal more for its cuteness than its taste. All right, and apparently, groundhog predictions. I don't know that there are any others than Punxsutawney Phil. I don't know whether this is a thing. But were censored during World War II. And this comes to us from Bill Cooper of the Punxsutawney Groundhog Club. Said, the only year Groundhog Day hasn't been celebrated since its inception is 1942. During World War II, Americans were cautious not to potentially divulge favorable weather forecasts to the enemies. What? As prognosticated by a groundhog? They should have handed it to the enemies. The rule was a nationwide edict that even prevented newspapers from printing sky conditions, instead forcing them to be vague about how certain days were nicer or gloomier than others. That mandate extended to the 1942 Groundhog Day celebration. And they're saying, war clouds have blacked out parts of the shadow. I guess. And as far as how accurate is Punxsutawney Phil? Well, not. Less accurate than a coin flip. In other words, not. So he's not the most prophetic rodent in the world, but his annual predictions are far from accurate. He's predicted 107 forecasts of a longer winter compared to just 20 early springs. 9 additional years lack any records on file. Rodent probably ate them. When taking into account the historic weather data that followed Phil's predictions, well, he was correct 39% of the time. Less reliable than the aforementioned coin flip. He has a lot of competition now. Apparently, there's currently Staten Island Chuck. Never heard of him. But he's a resident of New York's Staten Island Zoo, has a prediction. And apparently, Staten Island Chuck is doing a little better. He's at an 80% accuracy rate. He went on a hot streak and made correct weather predictions every Groundhog Day between 2010 and 2021, with the exception of 1 year, 2017. So Phil is undeniably more famous, but Chuck has the edge when it comes to accuracy. All right, so, yeah, many people enjoy the movie Groundhog Day. And Tom Hanks was considered for the lead role in that 1993 movie and established the holiday as a nationwide phenomena. And hard to imagine anybody but Bill Murray in the lead, but apparently Tom Hanks was first considered for that. They concluded that he was too nice to play the curmudgeonly part. So other actors considered for Groundhog Day, Chevy Chase, Kevin Kline, Michael Keaton. Actually, the latter of whom was offered the part but turned it down because he didn't understand the movie. All right, Yeah, there's the IQ test. He later expressed regret for that decision. All right. there you have all you want to know about Groundhog Day. Yeah. And which was, of course, yesterday. And will come about every year on the 2nd. So they talk about how it was formed, but I haven't heard of them giving actual credit to any one person, but I'm telling you, he should be in the PR Hall of Fame. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh. So if you're up at night wondering about minutia, why do we start letters with dear? I'll tell you coming up on WGN Radio.
Thank you. probably slow dancing with a bleach blonde tramp, and she's probably getting thirsty. Right now, he's probably buying her some fruity little drink, cause she can't shoot whiskey. Right now, he's probably up behind her with a pool stick, showing her how to shoot a combo. And he don't know. Some white trash version of Shania karaoke. Right now, she's probably saying I'm drunk, and he's a thinking that he's gonna get lucky. Right now, he's probably dabbing on $3 worth of that bathroom polo. Oh, and he don't know that I dug my key into the side of this pretty little souped up four-wheel drive.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and yeah, that was Chris in Ohio's request. Carrie Underwood, great, great, great lyrics. Before He Cheats was, of course, on an album, but it was also a single in 2006 on Arista Nashville. All right, so 888-876-5593, 88-88-Raleigh. And we have Mary Ellen, and Mary Ellen is in Oak Lawn. So Mary Ellen, how's it going on? What's happening tonight?
Oh, hi, Raleigh. So glad to talk with you. You know, so many times I'll be thinking, oh, I should call and ask for this song and that song, and the list is getting so long, so I really had to write things down before I called you. But I just want to say that your program is getting even better. I'm the one that I always like WAIT.
Yeah.
But this is better because it's like, I was going to say, like Forrest Gump. You never know what you're going to get. It's just all over the map. I'm just loving it. And, like, somebody had, like, there was the Tiger in Your Tank song.
Yeah.
In the past, I remember somebody asking for Della Reese, Don't You Know.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that song in, like, probably 40 years. Just a whole bunch of them. And the other thing I didn't want to forget to say, I'm the one that likes Vince Vann, All I Want for Christmas Is You, and they never play it. They play the Mariah Carey
yeah,
one.
Yeah, I agree
anyway,
with you. I like
WGN.
Yeah, I like the Vince Vance better, too.
Oh, me too. In fact, I wonder what the, you know, maybe sometime play one of their other songs just to see what the band is like. But they did play it on WGN twice. I got to hear it. So the other station just kept playing, what's her name? Mariah Carey.
Right.
Okay, so what I was going to say here, and do you think because of the lawsuit problem, that's why they don't play it that much?
No.
Because they were saying on...
I really don't think that. I really don't think that's it. But it's interesting how, you know, something will become popular. And it was on Valiant. Valiant wasn't a big label. I mean, the early association or whatever. But so it could be in terms of that, or who knows. I often wonder why certain things are played ad nauseum and other things not at all. But Vince Vance and the Valiants did a number of things. They used to do a lot of remakes of 50s. And early 60s stuff like You Better Move On or Fortune Teller, Bye Bye Baby. And then in 1980, Bomb Iran, and that was to Barbara Ann. And it's right when the thing was going on with Iran and all that. So Bomb Iran. Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay.
So that's sort of what they were. They were originally from New Orleans.
Well, The other thing I wanted to say was,
Here, hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay where you are. Stay right where you are, because the news is happening,
okay,
whether I want it to or not. Hang on.
Okay.
Bomb, 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 Iran. Bomb, 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 Iran. Some rocks, tell the Ayatollah gonna put you in a box. Bomb Iran, bomb, 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 bomb Iran. The country's got a feeling really hit the ceiling. Bomb Iran, bomb, 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 bomb Iran. Old Uncle Sam's getting pretty hot. Time to turn Iran into a parking lot. Bomb Iran, bomb, bomb.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Well, yes, Vince Vance and the Valiants, and Bomb Iran, it bubbled under at number 101 in 1980 on the Towel label. That was one of the problems, is most of the labels were a creation of Vince Vance. I think somebody in Memphis had Towel, actually, but some of his other stuff, like Valiant, wasn't the same Valiant that the association were on, Barry Devorsen's label. It was his own creation, or Waldoxy and all that, so that might have been one of the problems, but very creative guy all the way around. And yes, All I Want for Christmas Is You, which, by the way, charted on the Christmas chart 6 times in the 90s and then sort of disappeared, as Mary Ellen noticed. So, yeah, that's good old Vince Vance. He's a guy named Andy Stone from New Orleans.
Okay, am I back on now?
Yes, you are. It's you.
Oh, okay. Oh, that song was so funny. I mean, things don't change really much, do they?
No, absolutely they do not. except that it's now less politically correct to say that. But, you know.
Oh, you can say. Yeah. I know. I was surprised to hear it. But that, when I was starting to talk about, there was just a couple of things. I don't want to take up too much time, but I do remember as a kid getting a transistor radio. It was powder blue and medium blue.
Yeah.
Going upstairs, listening to Franklin McCormick after we opened our Christmas presents.
Oh, yeah.
And I was wondering, did you ever hear of, like, Jay Andres or Mel Belair's in Chicago?
Yeah.
Because I just remember we grew up, I mean, Arthur Godfrey, we had the radio on every day. And I was talking to my cousin, and I'm always talking about your program, and she doesn't have a radio.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I was like, how do you live? Anyway, there was a couple of things. Oh, like, even tonight, that song, like, there was, or maybe it was a couple nights ago, A Tiger in Your Tank.
Oh, yeah.
There was that Anita Odetta. I mean, I'm just enjoying the variety so much. And the country songs as well, just all of it. It's great.
Well, anytime you want to hear something, you let me know what it is, and you will.
Well, I've got 3 requests. Okay?
All right, let's hear them.
I was very surprised to hear you bring up Kenny Rankin.
Yeah,
I love his stuff. I like A Sunday Kind of Love.
Me too.
Okay. And then this other one, All in the Game. I know you've played that before.
Yeah, Tommy Edwards, right? Tommy Edwards.
And then this one's going to be maybe a little stumper. When I was up in Milwaukee, there was a girl group that did harmony, and the song was I Like Coffee. It goes, I like Java, and the Java likes me. Coffee and tea and Java, you see. Cup, a cup, a cup, a cup, a cup. Does it ring any bells?
Yes.
I like coffee. I like tea.
Yes.
I like the coffee and something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I never hear that song ever, and they were just great.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the Ink Spots did Java Jive, which is what it comes from. I love coffee, I love tea, I love the Java Jive, and it loves me. Coffee and tea and the Java and me.
Oh, yeah,
a cup,
well, maybe
a cup,
that's
a cup,
what they were doing it and just slowing.
Yeah,
maybe they just played the same thing but slowed it down, huh?
Well, I'll tell you, it was originally the Ink Spots, but Manhattan Transfer did it as well. And what I'll look for is all the acts that did it. But the name of the song is Java Jive.
Okay.
But now I'm going to look here online. First, I have to verify I'm a human. Okay. And why not, right? So let's see, Java Jive. Let's see what they give me on this. Yeah, here we go. Oh, my God, the King Sisters did it. That's horrifying. But anyway, all right. So, yeah, the four King Sisters with Alvino Ray. Yeah, this is Salt Lake City's finest. Did it originally in 1940. And then the Ink Spots did it a few months later in 1940. And but you heard it in the 60s. When do you know when you heard it?
Well, that was in the 70s, but okay. they were just be singing in, like, you know, corner bars. It was
right.
Three sisters.
Well,
They just were had their own style.
Right. Well, let's see. We've got Al Donahue and Maurice Rocco and the Modern Airs and the Mascots and Tammy Grimes and the Platters, Manhattan Transfer, Griffin Poofs, Chris Darrow, the Cliff Adams Singers, Singers, Beth and Cindy. Jim Queskin.
See, I hardly ever hear this song. Holy cow!
Well, yeah, because absolutely, the Tigressions. That's really painful. But I can give you the original four King Sisters. Truly frightening. But otherwise, the Ink Spots.
Well, you just pick whatever you want.
Okay.
And then I was thinking, then this will be the last one. Then I'm thinking too of Skeeter Davis. I hardly ever hear her stuff.
Well,
it doesn't matter what it is. I like all of her things.
You know, she actually does a cute little version of Gonna Get Along Without You Now that never got much airplay.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, I guess I Can't Stay Mad at You was the biggest pop song she had. And, of course, End of the World, probably the biggest song.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I'll either do I Can't Stay Mad at You or something from that album. I'll be happy to.
And just real quick, one last thing. Last week, they were playing Lovers Never Stay Goodbye. Oh, my goodness. I mean, yeah. I'm just loving all these songs.
Yeah.
And I'm the oldest of a big family, and they were having Sha Na down at McCormick Place. So I piled a bunch of the kids in the car, and we went down to, you know, see Sha Na Na and give them a good education and all this stuff. So Anyway, my little brother, who just retired now, he was down at McCormick Place working, and he found it, you know, stuck on a wall somewhere, an old program from the Sha Na Na show that I had taken them to see.
Oh, that's great.
So, yeah, it was so much fun hearing that story, and I love your program once more, okay?
Well, delighted to have you, and yes, Sha Na Na did Lovers Never Say Goodbye, but of course the hit was the Flamingos, so that was a truly great song, too. But yeah, a lot of people covered that, actually, so...
I loved it.
You betcha. All right, well, good deal.
Alrighty.
Well, I'll get them on for you. Okay, thanks.
Oh, thanks, Raleigh.
Okay.
Good night.
Okay, bye. All right. Yeah, a number of people did Lovers Never Could Say Goodbye. Merrily Rush, if you're ready for that on an album. But, the Hall of Shame would go to the Orlons. All right. Just no. All right. Hate to say that because I otherwise like the Orlons, but just no. The Flamingos did it best, of course. John in Covington, welcome to WGN Radio. John, what's up tonight?
Hey, Raleigh. I was messing around today, and I discovered I really liked the Clovers.
Oh, who doesn't?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, you know, before it was like Lee Andrews and the Hearts, and I still love them. But this guy, his name's John Buddy, what is it?
Bailey. John Buddy Bailey.
Yeah, that's it. That's
yeah.
it. Oh, my God. He's got a lead vocal that is just so good.
Yeah, and they started in 46, and he joined them a few years later. They were a trio, and then Buddy Bailey joined as lead, and they were the Four Clovers. And, they were a D.C. group, and so they would, you know, do all the amateur shows and, all that kind of stuff. And it was great, great stuff all the way around. Their first label was probably Rainbow. And nobody knew, but, it wasn't long before the guys at Rainbow brought them to the attention of Atlantic, and this would be about 1950, and they signed them in February 51, and immediately booked them at the Apollo and all that, and Ahmet Erdogan wrote some of that stuff for them, and the second session had Fool, 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 which I always thought about as their first real hit. It was number one on the R&B charts, but they did so many different things. And
I tell you, what I found very impressive about it is not only Mr. Bailey's voice on Leave, but the
now,
musicianship.
Let me interrupt you and say that Buddy Bailey was on lead in the stuff that was 1951, but he got drafted into the Army. And they brought in somebody who was there for like a minute and a half, John Philip, and then Charlie White who'd been in the Dominoes and the Checkers. And so like One Mint Julep or Middle of the Night and all that kind of stuff, that is not Buddy. That's, I just said his name, Charlie White. So that was the deal. Then Buddy got discharged in about 54, and he came back. In fact, Your Cash Ain't Nothing But Trash, that's Buddy Bailey. But some of the other stuff isn't. And I think Lovey Dovey, which was one of their biggest records ever. So, and that was the deal. And somebody else came in doing lead as well, but Buddy Bailey stayed with him after that. But that period from like late 51 through 54, that's not Buddy.
What I really found impressive is the musicianship, the quality of the piano, the sax. The sax on that group is just phenomenal.
Well, even
the upright bass is just, oh my God, that guy is so good.
But a lot of that also, when you're listening to the records, are the studio musicians that Atlantic picked. And Atlantic recorded some really good records. So that was certainly part of it as well. So not to take anything away from the Clovers, because I love the Clovers, but a lot of that stuff on record, you're not dealing with group
studio
members.
Studio musicians.
Yes, absolutely. And
yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. So
I was so
good
surprised.
Stuff.
Oh my gosh, I was so surprised when I heard them do Needles and Pins.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I guess another reason I mentioned is why aren't they as big as like the Spinners or, you know, I mean, I don't get it.
Well, it has to do with the time, too, remember, as far as that goes. And when you're saying Needles and Pins, this is where the Clovers were already past tense. Jackie DeShannon wrote that. So, you know, now we're talking Clovers in the 60s. But the real impact of the Clovers was early to mid-50s. And so it's a different point in time. And, you know, terrific records. I mean, Your Cash Ain't Nothing But Trash is one of the greatest records ever, I think, and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, that was the time. The early 50s didn't have the staying power, you know, that some of the stuff later did. But when you're talking about the Clovers in the 60s, you know, I always think of the Clovers' last real hit, actually, 59, was Love Potion Number 9. Billy Mitchell was on.
Yes. Yes, and I heard him do that. Right. I was really surprised.
And
oh,
that,
my goodness.
To me, that was it. After that, you know, they
what
brought
about the one. What about Love Bug?
Well, who was
there?
Yeah, who was lead on Love Bug? I don't know. But no, that would be a different period of. Well, I shouldn't say that. That was 59. So, yeah, all right. I think that was that the Flip a Fool? Well, it's on an album. But anyway, yeah, not a hit. But nice.
Yeah, I enjoyed it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, Raleigh, thanks so much.
Absolutely. Thanks
I'll
for calling.
I'll see you later.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right, yeah. Clovers were wonderful, absolutely wonderful. And, of course, you know, later when people like Bobby V are doing Devil or Angel, well, that's you know, the version that, you know, was popular, of course, absolutely, you're going to the Clovers. So many wonderful, wonderful Clovers records. So, yeah, I think they were terrific. A lot of people in that band over the years too. By the time they were doing Love Potion Number 9, they were on UA. And that was, I don't remember when they left Atlantic. I got to think about that. But and then after the UA thing, they were on Windleaf for a while. And I don't think too much happened there. All right. So, what can I say? Yeah, most people who are top 40 fans say, oh yeah, Love Potion Number 9, that's the Searchers. Yeah, well, not originally, absolutely the Clovers. And a lot of good stuff on Windley as well that didn't really really get anything. All right, so there you have that. 888-876-5593, 8888-RALEIGH. Got a lot of requests to play, and I'm going to write down John and Clovers, get him some Clovers, not tonight, but I will. And let's see, what do we have? I've got so many that I picked out for tonight. Of course, we have Jimmy P's six-pack. We could get three in. All right, maybe we'll do that, including a Flamingos record. Not Lovers Never Say Goodbye. All right, so, yeah, we'll start with Jimmy P's six-pack next on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. What a wonderful song. That's the first of Jimmy P's six-pack, and that is the original from 1955. And, yeah, Ruth McFadden and the Supremes. Not those Supremes, to say the least. Yes, the Supremes, they were males. They were kind of doo-wop singers, background singers in New York. Bobby Mansfield later was in the group, but not when that song was out. In any event, there were really only two versions of that song, and one was the Ruth McFadden, and that was the first one. But then a year later, Veretta Dillard did it, and not badly at all.
Oh, 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 darling, I lay the whole
No, I go back and forth. So I like Veretta Dillard better than Ruth McFadden. I don't know. These are the questions that leave me laying awake at night. And I know, obviously, I don't have anything important to discuss. But since that was one of Jimmy P's six-packs, first one, actually, maybe he can tell us which one he prefers. Probably Ruth McFadden, since he requested it, don't you know? All right, so we also have the Flamingos from Jimmy P, and you'll hear them right after the news on WGN Radio.
Darling, please hold.
WGA Radio. I'm Ronnie James. And those are the Flamingos. More recent for them, 1963. It was on End. And, yeah, it was George Goldner and Henry Glover who produced that. But the interesting thing to me is it was written by Bill Nash. Now, if you're saying, who? Johnny Nash's cousin. Absolutely. In fact, he served as his road manager and started to write songs and did a number of things, including I Know Better. So, 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. And that, by the way, that was the second of Jimmy P's six-pack, don't you know? And I hope he got to hear it. And we will talk to Jeff in Homewood. Jeff, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh.
How are you?
I'm the guy you played that song for a second time last week, Alone Again That
Yes, Day. Absolutely. Well, what is it you want to hear this week?
This week I want to hear Elvis singing Kentucky Rain.
Kentucky Rain. All right. All right, I can do that. And you only like to hear things in the final hour, right?
Final half hour, yeah.
Final half hour. All right, final half hour. Well, I'll play it next then. I'll find it because that'll be the last song of the night.
All right, but thanks for doing that. You said you got some flack for it.
Yeah, well, you know, people are always going to write and say stuff. And most of the time I don't even see the email because if there's far too much of it, I just hit delete, you know. So, but occasionally I look at them. And then some people, I think, want a text and I don't have a text line, so I have no idea what they're saying. So anyway, I've got Kentucky Rain and you will hear it next.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
All right, so 888-876-5593. Ah, it takes us to Stan in Dearborn. All right, Stan, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh.
Hey, what's up?
I'd have to vote for Ruth McFadden and the Supremes.
Okay. You know, I like them both for different reasons. I think they're produced differently, and I think they're both great records. But yeah, Ruth McFadden, as far as the vocal, she nails it.
I guess I'm just used to that
yeah.
One.
Yeah, but Veretta Dillard, I thought that was a nice effort. It was a flip side of her on Groove. It wasn't, you know, they weren't pushing it as the A side.
Yeah, any indication of who the backup group is?
On Veretta?
Yeah.
No, I don't think it says. I'm
trying to. Yeah, I have to look that up. That sounded pretty good.
Yeah, I'm trying to picture. It's a green record, the typical Groove, you know.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I don't think they...
Nightcaps, Dewdroppers.
Yeah, I think the A-side was like Mama Don't Want, but I don't... Four Students. I just looked it up, actually. The
wow.
Four Students.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so now what do we know? What do we know about the Four Students? I'm gonna find out. Okay, they were
Might
also oh! We know exactly who they are. All right, we know who they are because they were also the Q's. And the reason I say that is they were the backup singers for Atlantic.
Yeah, that's right.
So it'd be like Jimmy Breedlove and Ollie Jones and Winfield Scott, and there are others. But, yeah, so that's who they are. The Four Students are also the Q's and the Boleros and the Ivory Tones and the Playboys.
You know, and I was going to call because I was going to tell you about another Supremes group.
Yeah.
You know, when you said, oh, not those Supremes, but
right.
I got another one. You know, when we, I think you had a... couple records on Ace, and he said, well, there weren't too many people on Ace, but I've got a Supremes a group called the Supremes on Ace.
Yeah, no, they were on Ace, Just For You and I was one of them, and I always always hated that because I'm like, don't slaughter English, that'd be Just For You and Me. And so, but
well, you know, they were really...
They're from Columbus.
They were really from Ohio.
Yeah, Columbus.
Yeah,
you know, a lot of people don't realize that Columbus actually had good R&B. It's hard to believe, but they did. They had been the Fabulous Supremes, and they got the name from a bottle of booze they were drinking, Bourbon Supreme.
But they couldn't use the name because of Ruth McFadden Supremes on Old Town.
Yeah, little did they know that it was going to be one of those names. How many Supremes are there on discos? Let me look at that.
Yeah,
there gotta be a bunch of them. So
I heard they had to change their name to the Buckeyes.
Oh God! Oh, that'd be terrible. Really?
They were on as the Buckeyes. They were on Deluxe for about two or three releases.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know they were the Buckeyes. All right.
And then the Buckeyes, then they became the backup group for Ruby Nash.
Okay.
Ruby and the Romantics.
Yeah, of course.
So
she was so good. But yeah, I did not know that they were the Buckeyes. Oh, yeah. Man. How sad.
From the Supremes to the Buckeyes to the Romantics.
Yeah, how very, very sad. Well, I'm sure Uncle Marvy has some information on that. Do you ever read his stuff online?
Yeah, I used to read a lot in the paper that used to come out a long time ago.
Yes.
And he's right.
He wrote for a couple of things like that, but all of his stuff is online now, and at uncamarvey.com.
Wow.
And I was going to have him on about 5 years ago, and it got screwed up 3 times, including losing electricity and other things. And then when we called him back, he said, "I don't ever want to be on that show." That was the end. That was the end of that.
Sounds like him.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? I know. But he's so good. I thought about, well, it's 5 years. Maybe he's over his little hissy fit. Maybe I should try and call him back.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because he just had so much information in online and in, even on the website, but also all the stuff he wrote. Yeah, he was great. And I guess he was a technical writer by trade. That's how he made his money. But I'll tell you, he left us with a legacy, and every now and then I think I ought to find a way to just save that to a drive, because you always worry that it'll go away. So
make sure from LP back to LPs and books and I'm trying to think of the magazine that used to be out, the collectors.
Right.
I'm drawing a blank now in my mind. But also the Clovers, you're talking about the Clovers. When I was collecting, I wanted to get all the yellow Atlantics.
Me too. I'll tell you about that in a minute. But Record Exchanger and Bim Bam Boom were two of them.
Yeah, Record Exchanger. That's
right, right, absolutely. Yeah, all right, so yes, I too wanted the yellow Atlantics. Go on, so tell me more.
Yeah, so anytime someone asked me, this is what I had, the car record player. And, on the 60s,
me too,
What do you want for Christmas? What do you want for your birthday? I said, give me a record, a yellow Atlantic record, anything, whatever it is. So, I wanted to collect all the Drifters.
Right.
And then I wanted all the Clovers and all the Cardinals. And probably one of my favorite Clovers is I Played the Fool.
Oh, it's a wonderful song.
Yes.
Well, yeah, two things about that. One was I used to go to the drive-in movie swap meets because somebody would invariably be selling records. And the best time was September because kids went off to college. Well, one year I got like 70 yellow Atlantics for a dime each.
Wow.
I know. And I thought, man, some kid is going to be so pissed when he gets home for Christmas. But but it was just the best. But the other thing is, I always thought there was significance to Yellow Atlantic. And I figured, well, obviously this means something. And the reason that they changed to red, which they were putting on the shellac anyway, the 78s were red. But the reason they changed to red on the 45s was the printer ran out of yellow ink.
Yeah, something simple as that.
It was that. That's exactly what it was. And I remember Jerry Wexler, who I didn't really like. But anyway, Jerry Wexler told me that. Yeah. And I said, you're bursting my bubble. You're breaking my heart. I go collect all these records because they're special. And you're telling me the printer ran out of ink? He said, that's all it was. So, yeah. Yeah, but early Atlantic stuff was just so good.
Oh, it was, yeah. And, I used to get into kicks like that. First, I wanted all the Drifters, '60s and '50s.
Right.
And I wanted all the Motowns, and I stopped Motown about '67, '68.
For good reason, when it got into that Norman Whitfield stuff, psychedelic stuff. Yeah, I hated that. In fact, I hated it so much, that's when I started listening to country. So
well, I was going to say that. I heard you say that a couple times, and I went to the service, but when I came back in '70... the R&B changed to me. It changed.
It was
either too funky or it was too homogenized. It all sounded the same. So that's when I went back to going way back to the 50s. So I started collecting more 50s. And we had an oldies radio station in Detroit, Honey Radio.
Oh, of course. Absolutely.
WHN,
Yes, yes, absolutely. And, I think that was Golden West.
Yeah, and so I listened to that for...
Are you there? What happened? Oh, I went away for a moment. Yeah, no, Honey Radio, I remember them well. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Cardinals, loved the Cardinals. And of course, Stick McGee. There were so many wonderful Yellow Atlantics. Obviously, the Ruth Browns and Joe Turners, that goes without saying. Although, I guess if I had to pick anybody, it would either be Clovers or Drifters. But there were so many really wonderful things. So, yeah. Absolutely. All right.
And the Flamingos you just had. I was trying to think of a Flamingos. I used to like the other side of I'll Be Home.
Yeah.
I can't recall the name of it now. Just I'm losing the getting too late for me.
Right. Well, absolutely. I understand that. But yeah, I've got it as far as that goes. That Need Your Love was the A side on that.
That's it. That's it.
Yeah, that
I
was
Need
on,
Your Love.
That was on Checker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So yeah.
Yeah, Flamingos. I got a couple of Flamingos on Parrot as well.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, those were such great little labels back when it didn't cost anything to produce records.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, always good to hear from you. Sleep well.
Yeah, well, nice talking to you.
Okay, thanks. Okay, bye.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
So, yeah, I can understand. It's well past the wee bitchin' hour, especially on the East Coast. So we'll hear from Tubby next, but I will fulfill my promise and play Kentucky Rain, because you asked for it, on WGN Radio.
Seven lonely days and a dozen towns ago, I reached out one night and you were gone. Don't know why you'd run, what you're running to or from. All I know is I want to bring you home. So I'm walking in the rain, thumbing for a ride on this lonely Kentucky back road. I've loved you much too long, my love's too strong to let you go, never knowing what went wrong. Kentucky rain keeps pouring down, and up ahead's another town that I'll go walking with the rain in my shoes, searching for you in the cold Kentucky rain, in the cold Kentucky rain. I showed you a photograph to some old gray-bearded men sitting on a bench outside a general store. They said, yes, she's been here, but their memory wasn't clear. Was it yesterday? No, wait, the day before.
WGN Radio, I'm Riley James. That's Elvis Presley, 1970 on RCA, and Eddie Rabbit wrote it. All right, and it was Jeff in Homewood who wanted to hear that, and now he has. It was recorded at American Sound, don't you know, in case you were wondering. So, 888-876-5593. Oh, on piano, that was Ronnie Millsap. Thought I'd mention that. So it was Bobby Emmons was on organ. It was Tommy Cogbell played bass. I'm trying to think of who else. But anyway, Chips Moman was producing, and it was obviously along with Felton Jarvis. So there you have it. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, Larry is in Little Rock. All right, Larry, what's up? That's you.
Hello? Yes.
What's up?
I was wondering if you could play a little bit of that Elvis, Are You Lonesome Tonight, where he laughs at the backup singers.
Oh, does he? Okay, I'll have to find this. I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I also have the Homer and Jethro, you know, Are You Lonesome Tonight? If you are, sir, you're right. I'm so happy you left me at last. But
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I have an album of them. Well, I just remember that, and you mentioned that group earlier, where the musicians are laughing or something.
Yeah, oh yeah, it right on, okay. All right, I'll look for that. And I think it was an album cut on something I got, but I got to find it. And I'll look for that. And when I do, Larry, I will play it just for you.
All right, well, thank you.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right, so yeah, a little harder when they're albums, but I got them. All right. Hopefully they're not in a box. Tubby in Chicago. Tubby, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Riley, what's going on?
Not a thing. How about yourself?
The potato chip bag is empty. The can of Coke is empty.
Yeah.
I've been listening. I fell asleep three times the last hour. Woke back up. I said, okay, now.
Oh, man.
Real fast, because like, we're running out of time. I just want to... I was wondering about Jim Richmond. Love and prayers for everybody.
Yes.
Linda.
Yes.
How's Linda doing?
Yeah. I hope. Yeah, I haven't heard from Jim in a couple days. I hope he'll call us tomorrow, because usually on Wednesday he goes to the retina specialist and all that. So maybe he'll call us tomorrow night with a recap.
Okay. And then blessings to all. Just want everybody to just rock steady, baby.
Yeah, there you go.
I was wondering about one day, let's do, what do you know about travel on trains?
Well, I've done it, and it's harder to do anymore because there's less tracks and less destinations, and it can be pricey if you want your own sleeper. But, yeah, what right. about it? Where you want to go?
Oh, God, I want to do them all. I want to do... Okay, let's start with the top. I want to do Orient Express one day. That would be
Whoa.
Lovely.
Oh, all right. So we're when talking worldwide.
Right. I know. When I was in London, there was the Simplot sitting right there on the tracks one day. I walked past it. Whoa. That was exciting.
Yeah.
then you got your Rocky Mountain Canadian.
Okay.
You got your. Then let's go on up there to Russia, man. That's. You know, the thought of being on that train, the thought of riding on a train overnight, you know?
Yeah.
Since we ain't got much time anyway, I will share that the European experience when we got locked out that night. Our little girlfriend from church were living. They were living. I can't even think of the place. Anyway, they went to the train station where it was just right under the cross from where they lived over a bakery. And, she ran off with the key to get in the store downstairs. So after we had quiche and cafe au lait and all of this, we got stranded. We had to find places to sleep that first night in Europe, okay?
Oh, jeez.
So the next night, Annie and I had wanted to go to Venice. The first place I wanted to go to was Venice. So we jumped the train and we took a night cachet to Venice. And that was... coming out of the station that day was just beyond words still. It's still wonderful to me.
Yeah.
Arriving in Venice, the trains, getting out of Rome. You know, a lot of people don't know this. It's not like some places. There's several stations. Then you got to find them.
Right.
But I wanted to see the Trevi Fountain. And I wasn't leaving Rome until I saw it, okay?
Good for you. All right, yeah, we're pretty much out of time, but we'll talk about it. And yes, the Rocky Mountaineer has some interesting trips, some of them fairly short and some of them almost affordable. Now, the Orient Express, start saving your money now.
Okay. Yeah.
It's pricey.
And then the one in Russia, what's the one up there in Russia?
One
that goes,
to Siberia?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, right, exactly. That's the Trans-Siberian.
Yeah, Trans-Siberian.
Yeah.
Right, you're not going to remember. Hey, Riley, thanks for everything.
All right, talk to you soon. Okay, thanks.
Okay, bye.
Yeah, they also have a Trans-Mongolian, by the way, if you want to go to like Ulan, whatever the heck it is, Ulaanbaatar. Yeah, I have a friend who actually did that. All right, well, you know, if you're bored and you're looking for something to do, we'll talk, but can be pricey. But yeah, that Rocky Mountaineer, they have one of those neat things where the top is all glass and all that. So scenic. All right. Well, that pretty much is a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. Now we're going to do it all again 21 hours from now. I hope you'll join me on WGN Radio.